In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
Starting in 1610, the Catholic Church began a two-decades-long prosecution of Galileo for using science. Science that did not conform to the Church's beliefs about the solar system. His great sin was that he believed the Earth revolved around the Sun and not the other way around. How ironic, then, that here we are some 500 years later, and now it's mainstream science doing the prosecuting over beliefs. The same administration that used the IRS to go after the Tea Party and its donors is now looking at using the FBI to prosecute people who do not believe in global warming. We'll be talking with Ron Arnold about all this, who has been exposing the funding of the Green Movement since the 1970s. It turns out that the people trying to charge the deniers with a crime have themselves committed a crime, and he has the evidence, including emails and documents, so stay tuned for that. And right in the middle of this rebellion, there is a new movie coming out to expose the climate alarmists even more, appropriately called Climate Hustle, which lays out the facts and asks the tough questions that the global warming campaign doesn't want any of us to think about or dare to question. To talk about Climate Hustle, we're honored to talk with Paul Dreesen, a senior policy analyst for the Committee for a Constructive Tomorrow, that's CFACT. He writes and speaks regularly on environmental, climate change, energy, and economic development issues. His articles have appeared in the Wall Street Journal, Washington Times, Investors Business Daily, and other leading periodicals. And he is currently out there to help CFACT promote their film Climate Hustle, which is in theaters May 2nd. Paul, thanks for talking with us today.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
So you've got this new film out there, Climate Hustle. How did this film come about, and what is it set out to do? What's its premise?
Well, we have been talking about and debating this climate change catastrophe nonsense for a number of years, and we've got ClimateDepot.com as part of CFACT. I write about climate issues every few weeks, have been doing that for 15 years, following this very closely. And we decided that something other than just print media and online media was very important here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There are lots of climate scientists and other experts out there who just don't accept the notion of man-made and dangerous climate change. We all agree that Earth's climate changes. It changes on a regular basis. Humans have some influence, especially around urban centers where we increase the temperature around the cities and so forth, and probably affect air flow and moisture levels and things like that with our cities and our agriculture. But the notion that we are causing a dangerous man-made climate change worldwide just isn't backed up by the facts. And we wanted to give people a chance to actually see real live scientists on the screen talking about this and debunking some of these myths and exaggerations and outright misrepresentations of the science.
Well, and not only that, but it really flies in the face of second grade science. I remember in second grade being taught that CO2 is good, that plants need it to survive. And yet, you know, here we're talking about the really quite minimal increase in the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere, and everybody's acting like it's the end of the world, and yet the plants love it.
Oh, they do. And in fact, I've seen reports that just the amount of carbon dioxide that we've added to the atmosphere in the last 50 years has increased the rate of plant growth and the amount of plant growth by about 10 or 11%. So that's pretty significant for forests, grasslands, and crops. And this is one of the reasons why the Obama administration environmentalists have started to call this carbon pollution, as though it's soot coming out of the stacks and not carbon dioxide. But the reality is nothing on planet Earth could exist without carbon dioxide. It's the
source of
the plant growth that provides us the oxygen we all need.
Yeah, absolutely.
So your second grade science is absolutely right.
Well, I can't remember my science teacher's name, but somewhere she's smiling down on me that I remembered that. So anyway, in terms of global warming, and because there have been some other documentaries out there, is there something especially different about Climate Hustle?
Yeah, this one is presented with a lot of fun and joking around, but on a very serious topic, in a very serious way. We give a chance to a lot of different scientists to present things. There's use of cartoons. Mark Morano's a terrific online host and commentator. He interviews a lot of different people that haven't had an opportunity too much to be involved in a film like this in the past, and we're trying to tread on some new ground, address the most current arguments being presented by the other side, the alarmists who are claiming we're on the threshold of a planetary emergency from which there's no coming back, as though you go back to the ice ages, which plunged our planet into cold periods for thousands of years, and then they melted, and then they came back, and they were a mile thick. And so the idea that humans all of a sudden are going to send the planet off the deep edge is just ridiculous, and this is part of the theme of this entire program.
Well, and of the two, I would much rather have a little warming than a little cooling, because it's a whole lot easier to grow crops when it's warmer versus colder.
Absolutely, and if you have a degree or two of cooling, you're going to lose your arable land and your growing season.
Sure.
So you're right. That would be much more catastrophic than a few degrees of warming even.
Well, we've been privileged to see two advanced 5-minute promotional clips, and I have to say that this film looks very well produced and like it's going to have a big impact. One area of attack that the film seems to attack is the notion of 97% of the scientific community support this idea of climate change or global warming. Why did you choose that particular line of attack?
Well, because President Obama trots this number out at every opportunity, so does John Kerry, so do a lot of the other alarmists. I don't know where exactly they came up with 97%, but it seems to have its origins in the original report by Naomi Oreskes from Harvard, and she came up with the idea that it was really 100% of climate scientists who agreed that climate change is happening. Well, nobody disagrees with that. But then she did a bait and switch and said they really mean that man is causing dangerous climate change, which is not the original question. But she said, well, if we're going to do that, then we have to back off a little from 100%. So she settled on 97%. And somehow every survey since then comes up with 97%, which is just crazy. If people really want to get into that, David LaGates just did a wonderful piece on this 97% myth, where it came from and what was wrong with every one of these crazy studies that's purported to arrive at that. It's David LaGates, and it's on the web all over the place. Hmm. But one example of the way they did this is there was a survey sent out to 10,000 people, 10,000 experts, scientists of different kinds. And in the end, the survey people took 77 out of 79 scientists that they claim were the real climate scientists, and out of that 79, they chose 77 that seemed to represent the extreme view of dangerous man-made climate change, and so 77 out of 79 is 97%, but what happened to the other 10,000 people?
Yeah, well, not only that, but the 97% doesn't even represent 97 scientists, so go figure.
Exactly.
All right, let's go ahead and take a break right here. We're going to have lots more with Paul Dreesen. The website for the movie, if you'd like to go visit, is climatehustlemovie.com. Stay with us. And welcome back to the iSpire Radio Show, helping you to get a little more intelligence on big government, as well as issues like big environment, the 21st century snake oil. We're talking today to Paul Dreesen. He's a senior policy analyst with CFAC, that's Committee for a Constructive Tomorrow, CFAC.org, if you'd like to go visit. Paul is helping them promote their new film, Climate Hustle, which you can also see at climatehustlemovie.com. This is going to be in theaters May 2nd. It's a one-day event, and this will be airing in Oregon, three locations in Portland area, one in Salem, in Medford, Eugene, and Bend, just off the top of my head. Head to climatehustlemovie.com to look for locations near you. And, of course, this is nationwide as well. And so Paul, people sometimes ask me why this topic of global warming matters. So what if some people believe in global warming? Well, they stop wondering why this matters when I point out the tremendous amount of money the global warming alarmists are siphoning off our public spending. I know that in fiscal year 2014, the White House admitted itself that they had spent $22.2 billion on global warming. And then just recently, you had in 2016 here, you had a town hall article in which you reported that the omnibus spending bill contains $171 million for Green Technology Fund, $50 million for the Strategic Climate Fund, and the bill also allowed $168 million in appropriations for the Global Environmental Facility to be put in at the disposal of the Global Global Climate Fund. Again, it's just money after money after money. And this is really just here in the U.S., isn't it? I mean, that's just a drop in the bucket in terms of what's being spent worldwide.
You're absolutely right, Mark. The important point from my perspective is that politicians, environmentalists, alarmist scientists, and renewable energy industrialists have built up a $1.5 trillion a year climate crisis industry. That's just unbelievable to me. $1.5 trillion a year in research grants to scientists, as long as they're pushing the alarmist narrative, campaign cash back to the politicians, subsidies of all kinds to renewable energy industries, and most importantly, regulatory power to curtail our conventional energy generation. Our energy-intensive industries and vehicle use make electricity rates skyrocket, transform our legal and economic and employment systems, and control our lives and our livelihoods and our living standards. And then finally, and this is where that Global Climate Fund comes in, under the UN, we're supposed to transfer $100 billion a year, ultimately, to the UN to be redistributed to the poor countries around the world, including China and India. And none of those countries is required to reduce their fossil fuel use or carbon dioxide emissions. Only we are.
Yeah, isn't that amazing that we're spending all this money and the worst polluters, the ones that are most likely to put the carbon dioxide into the air, aren't required to reduce any of it. So where does that all of that $1 trillion go then if it's not actually helping in terms of reducing the carbon footprint of some of these countries, where's all that money being spent? Where does it go?
That's a very good question. A lot of it is being used to subsidize electric cars, wind turbines, solar plants, and panels to create biofuels, to do with all this one-sided, one-directional climate research. A lot of it comes back to the politicians in the form of campaign cash. It just on and on and on where who's benefiting from this. But the bottom line is these people zealously and jealously are guarding their kingdom. And the whole thing is based on the assertion that mankind's fossil fuel use is causing dangerous, irreparable, unprecedented, catastrophic climate change. When you look out your window into the real world, you don't see any of this happening. We haven't had weather different really from what we've observed in the last 50 to 100 years. And for hurricanes, we're at 126 months now, 10 plus years, with not a single Category 3 hurricane hitting the United States. And that's unprecedented. The last time that happened was probably around the Civil War. So this is something they don't want to talk about on their side, and they also don't want to talk about the fact that even if we follow everything that EPA wants to do and impose this clean power plan,
right,
which would destroy countless jobs, we're only going to reduce global temperatures by 0.03 degrees Fahrenheit and reduce sea level rise by 1/100th of an inch.
Yeah, $1 trillion a year. Yeah. For such minor returns. I mean, it boggles the mind why anybody would think that this would be a good idea. And yet here we have a Congress that is controlled by the Republicans that is supporting this kind of spending. That just boggles my mind why these so-called business-minded Republicans would get behind this kind of nonsense.
It boggles my mind, too, and a bear in mind, too. All those numbers we're just tossing out about sea level rise and temperatures assume that carbon dioxide is driving climate change.
Right,
all
right.
The natural forces that controlled climate for millions, billions of years are out of the picture now, and it's only carbon dioxide and only human carbon dioxide that matters.
You know, it really is kind of amazing when you look at all of their predictions down through the years that, you know, Manhattan was going to be underwater by now, that we were going to have all of this sea rise, where you're going to have, I think it was 100 million climate refugees, where all of these, I mean, you had one island that abandoned, you know, because they had made these predictions, they ended up abandoning this one island and moving to higher ground on another island. If they are successful at anything, it is in failed predictions.
You're absolutely right. And the funny thing is, since the last ice age ended 10 or 12,000 years ago, sea levels have risen 400 feet. That's how much water was locked up in those glaciers that came down across North America, Europe, and Asia. So what we're seeing is a slight increase from that 400-foot rise in sea levels. And these islands that are out there that are supposedly threatened by sea level rise, they didn't exist at 300 feet at that time. But as the oceans rose, so did the islands, because they're coral islands for the most part. And as the seas rise, the corals grow and the islands grow. So where this insanity about submerging the islands and our coasts is coming from, I don't know.
Well, Paul, there's a lot more that we could be talking to you about, but unfortunately we're up against the clock here. I want to thank you so much for your time today, and the website one more time for that movie is climatehustle.com. Paul, thank you again.
It's been my pleasure, Mark. Thank you.
And coming up, Ron Arnold, who has the goods on the global warming alarmists. Stay with us. And welcome back to the Ice Pirate Radio Show. To continue our discussion on global warming, I'd like to welcome now Ron Arnold. He has been fighting the radical environmental movement since the 1970s with more than 300 magazine articles, numerous book chapters. He is also the author of 9 books and editor of 10 books. And we'll make sure that we link all of those up on iSpyRadio.com. Ron, thanks for joining us. It's good to talk to you again.
Well, it's my pleasure. Glad to be here.
Yeah, well, the last time we talked to you, it was about the red money for green groups, and needless to say, the environmental left has not gone away. In fact, they've gone further off the deep end, because right now, the latest tactic of the environmental left is straight out of the Nazi playbook, as far as I'm concerned. If you think in the wrong way, we're going to come up and put you in jail, and that's at least the opinion of our U.S. Attorney General on global warming. Agree with us or else, and according to several news sources right now, 20 climate scientists, including a top U.N. scientist, have called for RICO investigations of climate skeptics in a letter to Obama and the U.S. Attorney General, and she has since contacted the FBI to determine if they could possibly prosecute global warming deniers using RICO laws. That's racketeering. So let's spend a little time talking about this latest effort to silence opposition by using the force of litigation and the weight of government. I know that you've got some emails and some communications from the lawyer who got the Attorney General's secret email. So what can you tell our audience about this effort?
Well, the emails are as a result of some state-level attorneys general, 20 of them, 20 states, and their effort to actually do that. One of them, the attorney general of the state of New York, Eric Schneiderman, has actually filed such a RICO case against ExxonMobil, and has asked for this and that and the other, you know, all kinds of things to prove that they knew that their science was telling them that the climate was going to destroy everything and causes everything between floods and hiccups. And so that was, I'm not kidding. I mean, there's people that actually think global warming causes sunspots.
Oh, yeah, I know, yeah.
I mean, it's really a fruitcake bunch of folks, but a lot of them are actually scientists. But what those emails were about was these 20 attorneys general and, you know, duly elected and all of that and empowered to do such things are going to get up, and they had a press conference all arranged, and according to the emails, this is kind of one of the amusing spots. They said, we will have star power on this one, and that star power was your friend and mine, Al Gore, yeah. Owner of an Oscar.
My buddy, and, yes. Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, he was there and doing his usual, oh, the world is coming to an end tomorrow, film at 11, and that kind of thing. And it was star power. A lot of people watched, and of course, the media just obediently agreed with what they had to say and didn't even check the facts. Well, okay, what had happened that these emails found out was that there were two very important lawyers influence groups. One of them was a guy named Peter Frumhoff, and he's from the Union of Concerned Scientists. Now, a lot of people maybe never heard of it, but it is the most influential green group in the United States in terms of testimony before Congress and mentions in the New York Times, that sort of thing. And there was a fellow named Matt Pawa, P-A-W-A, and they spent 45 minutes each giving talking points behind the scenes of what they call the imperative of taking action now, in other words, get us now, and climate change litigation, you know, what to emphasize. Well, a group that I know and have known for a long time, Energy and Environmental Legal Institute, did the state level of the Freedom of Information Act kind of thing and got those emails perfectly legally. It didn't require somebody to go in and snitch them or anything like that. So we've got them on them, and they're, what that amounts to is with that kind of prompting from these people, they are conspiring, they being the 20 different attorneys general. These are instruments of the law, these people are, and they're breaking the law. There is a law in the U.S. Criminal Code, and it's, for anybody who's really technical, it's in Title 18, and it is in Section 241. And it says that it is a felony for anyone to conspire, any two persons or more to conspire, to deprive anyone of the liberties guaranteed by the Constitution of the United States, which, of course, just about everything in the First Amendment is what they're targeting, and they want to take that away from us. Right. Well, they're going to have a fight to do it, but that's what it said.
And we were talking prior to this segment here that this actually stems from a 2012 meeting. Is that correct?
But that's true. It was one that was held in La Jolla, California, and it was sponsored by this Union of Concerned Scientists that this guy, Peter Frumhoff, is from. And it had this lawyer, Matt Pawa, who had the first word in the proceedings, which they were stupid enough to print, and I got a copy of. And here's this Matt Pawa talking all about this RICO suit that he filed against somebody, and he lost it at the trial court, and then he took it to the appeals court, and they lost there. And I read it down there and said, well, I wonder why he's bragging about this lawsuit that he lost. Well, it wasn't really that. It was saying, well, you know, we need to find a better way to do this, RICO, so that's why we're here, to see if we can do that and destroy everybody's reputation, not just legally, but, you know, how can we plant stories about them that say, oh, they're just a bunch of liars and being paid by big oil and coal and whoever else. So that's the kind of people that were prompting these attorneys general just before they went on the air to announce their wonderful new coalition called the AGs United for Clean Energy. They're not clean about anything. They probably don't even wash their hands.
No. Well, at that press conference, when they got this coalition of 20 attorney generals, did anybody bother to stop and say, well, aren't you guys kind of breaking the law doing it this way?
Well, actually, no. And, you know, this is kind of where the media, the mainstream media are just, they're echo chambers.
Yeah, they're just the tools.
They are, their own opinions are very much like what these guys are saying, and they're beliefs are pretty much the same, and they don't bother doing the honorable thing, and that is following the code of ethics of professional journalism, which says to be fair and to treat both sides of a story, whether one of them is expressing views that you find repugnant. Well, they're not doing that. So they're just telling people what these jerks say. Having these emails, though, means it's the first thing that's coming up in a legal battle against him to put them in jail.
Yeah,
They want to put us in jail. That's a two-edged sword.
It sure is. Okay, so coming up, we're going to be talking more on punishing dissent. Coming up with Ron Arnold. Stay with us. And welcome back to the iSpy Radio Show. We're talking to Ron Arnold. He is the Executive Vice President of the Center for the Defense of Free Enterprise and a policy advisor to the Heartland Institute. He is a fierce opponent to the radical environmentalist agenda and has been tracking and investigating the environmentalist activism since the early days of their efforts to attack the logging industry back in the 1970s. And so we've been talking about this effort to prosecute dissent when it comes to global warming, and they're looking at using legal laws. And it's just astounding that they're doing this. Do they ever have any, has RICO laws ever been used to prosecute somebody for their beliefs or dissent before?
No. As a matter of fact, what it was originally passed for, and this has been in the 1970s, was to catch the mafia.
Right, right.
It gave the certain powers that were very controversial. In fact, that even had to go to the Attorney General of the United States to get a set of regulations of how to use it. It was so controversial at the time because it could be abused just like it's being abused now.
Mm-hmm.
So that the law itself is not really intended for this kind of thing, and that's exactly what these people are doing it. And, they're going to try to put me in jail. Well, I'm going to try to put them in jail before they get to me. So, and with the emails that we've got from a legal counsel at a very good organization that is in Washington, D.C., Energy and Environmental Legal Institute, they got a whole bunch of emails that show that there is definite collusion, illegal collusion, between these people in the green movement and these people in the law business, only they're elected officials, and they're particularly susceptible to problems of various kinds of breaking the law themselves. You know, it's not uncommon to find some former legislator in a prison cell. Well, we're going to see that about some of these AGs.
I was going to say, we need to see more of it, quite frankly. So basically what they're asserting is that, legally speaking, anyway, when the Clinton administration used RICO laws to go after the tobacco companies, because they were saying that the tobacco companies pretended that the science of tobacco's dangers was unsettled. And so now they're trying to say that same thing against the climate skeptics that were daring to say that the dangers are unsettled. So do they have a chance of actually using RICO laws on this? And do you see this as a good path for them?
They think it is. They're essentially what ExxonMobil has already said, and it's given them thousands and thousands of documents already, to show that the business of there's a campaign that the green movement 350.org and so on, it's called Exxon New, and that's a Twitter address with the
hashtag,
the
yeah,
at sign in front of, yeah, with, yeah, hashtag in front. Okay, so and their claim is that the science that they'd already done told them that it was very dangerous. Well, the only thing is they can show you that at the same time that whole crew of scientists that were working on it came up with about five or six different answers. One of them is that actually it would be very, very beneficial to plant life because that's what they breathe in, CO2.
Sure, sure.
And so you've got that sitting there with this is going to, it's going to turn us all into paper dolls and we'll all blow up and the sun will go away and, just the ridiculous kinds of things like that. And that's essentially what they're emphasizing and totally ignoring the rest of the evidence. Well, now, a court's not going to do that. But the attorney general that started it all, Eric Schneiderman, he's the attorney general of the state of New York, and he did not use RICO in order to start. He used a New York-only law that allows, and this was made also to catch bootleggers and mafia types in New York City a long time ago, 1920s. But this law allows an AG to investigate somebody who is not accused of a crime. Now, that's pretty weird. It has been shown to be constitutional within a court of the state, but nobody's ever tried that at a federal court, which I'm sure would just be thrown out right away. So I think that they believe they're on very solid ground, and we think they're in a bunch of quicksand, and we want to say, oh, don't. I don't know if you know the story of Brer Rabbit, that the fox is going to throw him in the thorn patch, and he says, don't throw me into the thorn patch. But that's where he lived.
Yeah,
that's essentially what we're saying. Oh, gee, don't sue us. We're just poor these little innocent things, you jerk. Sue us, and you will regret it, because we will put you in jail with your own records.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing that jumped out at me, actually, because we've got the letter, and we'll put that up on iSpyRadio.com. Today's show is 6:17. And there's this line in there that really jumped out at me, and it says one additional tool, and this is from the 20 climate change alarmists that wrote to Obama, and it said one additional tool is a RICO investigation of corporations and other organizations that have knowingly deceived the American people about the risks of climate change as a means to forestall America's response to it. And, you know, I read this idea of knowingly deceived. Boy, if anybody has knowingly deceived the American people, it is the climate change people themselves. That have manipulated science, that have falsified what it says. I mean, you've got one scientist after another that is completely changing what the actual science has found. Like, you know, for example, around hurricanes and whatnot.
Well, that's true, and I think we're probably going to have to wait until the next segment. But I'll actually talk to you about a U.S. State Department document that I have in possession of that essentially ordered the science. Leader of one of the international or intergovernmental panel on climate change, the IPCC, okay. The UN body, to tell lies and to change the science.
Well, let's take a break right there, and we will definitely come back on that. Stay with us. And welcome back. We're talking about global warming alarmists today on the iSpy Radio Show. We're talking with Ron Arnold, who has written more than 300 articles and 9 books and edited 10. I think I actually have that wrong. I think you wrote 10 books and edited 11. You've written a lot.
Now that was an old bio that you read there. I wrote another one last year.
Yeah, I kind of remember that one. I thought, okay, that's not right as I was looking at that. But anyway.
Right.
You mentioned going into the break there about a certain document that you have, so let's pick things up from there.
Well, okay, this is something that is always brought up, and that is, we know that the science is phony that's coming out of the Intergovernmental Panel on Global Warming, or climate change, rather, IPCC, which is a United Nations body. Mm-hmm. And it's constituted by, several hundred countries. And all of them have something in it, like the United States wants the power to be able to regulate on the basis of what the climate science says. And so they want to be able to say this is science-based. Well, no, it's not. It's scientist-based. And the scientists are all employees of who? The government. Well, they're not going to say anything that's going to get them fired. So, of course, they all agree. But that statement that 97% of all of the scientists agree that the global warming is just like Obama says it is. No, it's not 97%. It's 100%. They're scared of losing their jobs.
Hmm.
So, but what I found was a State Department document. This was for the second assessment. And that was in 1995. So this is that long ago. They knew they were lying. Mm. We have not been able to find any because even I FOIA'd that. And I had this document from another source. I had a friend FOIA this for me, lawyer friend, and got back an answer from the State Department. Oh, well, we can't. No, there's no such correspondence in our files, and so it kind of made me ask, well, gee, how come I've got it if they don't?
Yeah, right. Really.
what it was a cover letter from the official of the State Department to the leader of the science team of that assessment with instructions on what to do, how to change the science document. Now, we're not talking just about the summary for policymakers, even though that was part of the deal, but they had to change the science itself according to a line by line, and with that 3 pages of cover letter were 30 pages of line by line, change this to that, change this to that, make this sound worse. How, you know, we can't come up with uncertainty like that. Well, okay, at that time, the green groups, and actually Greenpeace actually had a seat on that commission, on that panel, which, what's that happening? They're not scientists. Essentially, everything came out sort of like saying, well, we think we have a discernible signal that, yeah, there is a human element into in climate change. Well, that was a very carefully worded thing. They used the word discernible. Well, all that means is that you can sort of tell it. The guy who was the boss of this, the co-creator of the IPCC, and he was also the chairman during all this time, he was very angry when the press came out, and he wrote in his own history of the politics of the global change, climate change, that it was the fault of the NGOs, the environmental groups, in other words, and the press that wanted to exaggerate everything they said that they had very carefully worded and very carefully looked at. And he really hated the fact that the uncertainties had all been smoothed out so it sounded like it was perfectly certain, and it most certainly was not. Hmm. And he even told the Associated Press about a year after that, that global warming or climate change is not something you can prove. I mean, he said those exact words, and he said, "What you do, we do experiments enough, and then an image or a picture emerges." Now that is rather vague, and it's not really like him, but that's the best he could do in saying, "Really, what's the science about?" It's we do the tests as we can, and we do the science as best we can, but the best you get out of it is kind of a picture. And you have to interpret that picture. Now, that's politics when you start interpreting that kind of stuff. Right. That's not science.
Right. You know, you hear things like this, and where you've got some policymaker, you know, they're in the State Department, and they're essentially ordering scientists to change their findings and to jimmy it up to make it more politically incendiary. And you think, why in the world don't people go to jail for this sort of thing? I mean, if you were doing this on the private side where you're a drug company and you're jimmying up the findings to say that, oh, yes, this cures cancer, you'd be going to jail. Why can people on the political side get away with this and not be held responsible on some level?
Well, dictators don't go to jail. You know, you've got a president that he's got a pen, and that's okay. That's all he's got, you know, no brain, but he's got a pen. So anything that he wants, he just writes it down, and Congress is powerless to do anything about it. And that is the truth. An executive order cannot be rescinded by Congress until the next president gets it.
Well, and that's the thing is, I mean, just imagine a president and a Congress that would actually prosecute these alarmists for their deception. I mean, we're talking about a $1.5 trillion a year industry. That would be exciting if that actually happened. All right, we're up against the clock here. Everyone stay with us. Lots more with Ron Arnold. And welcome back to the iSpy Radio Show. We're talking with Ron Arnold. He is the Executive Vice President of the Center for the Defense of Free Enterprise. He's especially known for his pioneering work on exposing the less funding, and you can check some of that out on undueinfluence.com for just a taste of that, and we'll be sure to link that up on iSpyRadio.com. And so we only got a few minutes here with you, unfortunately, but one of the things that you also have documents on is a certain university climate scientist who was under congressional investigation for misdirecting millions in taxpayer money. So why don't you talk to us a little bit about him?
Okay, the person you're talking about is a professor named Jagadish Shukla, He came from India originally. He was from the Brahmin caste, which, you know, they had, still have a caste system when he was a kid. And so he has that kind of attitude. He thinks he can do anything and get away with it, and he's tried. The institute that he runs is perfectly legal. It's called the Institute of Global Environment and Society Incorporated. It's in Rockville, Maryland. Actually, it's run out of his home. I mean, that's some institute. But since its founding, that outfit has been supported almost entirely by federal grants, over 99.5% in 2014. Now, he's under congressional investigation for violating nonprofit law. And his partisan political activity is what got him into it. And that was requesting a RICO Act and an investigation of companies and organizations that disagree with the Obama administration on climate change. And that's the words of the House Science, Space, and Technology Committee. Mm. They were very, very angry about this. So it's one of those things that is still in process. We can't really find out exactly where the investigation is, but it's going full tear as far as we know.
Wow. And he was one of the signers of that letter to the president to try to open RICO investigations. And so let's say for a moment that you were put in charge of a task force to start undoing some of the damage that, you know, start entangling some of these NGOs from their political involvement. Where would you even begin with something like that?
Well, the first thing I would do is take a look at all of the income. Who's funding the NGOs that are behind all of this? Because we have a full list of everybody who's involved because they were dumb enough to leave big fat footprints, and I found them all. But who's paying for it? Who are the foundations? Rockefeller Brothers Fund, the Tides Foundation, a lot of very well-known, quote, philanthropy, ha-ha. And those, I would put them in the same kind of jury box as I would as the actual persons who were doing the overt act, because they were aiding and abetting. Not only that, they were using what's called prescribed grants. Now, prescribed grants come with instructions. In other words, go ahead and do with this money whatever we say. And in this case, it was, you know, beat up these guys and try to put them in jail. Well, it's not too difficult to find those kind of purposes written for a grant, because they have to tell the IRS every year in a Form 990, which is their Form 1040 that foundations do. So I would put the people, if it was in my bailiwick, I would make sure the funders got as much pain as they could out of this, because they are the people who really made it possible.
Right, right. And then finally, globalization has a real bad name these days. And Americans don't necessarily see themselves wanting to prop up some of these other nations as well. Because of this attitude, do you see a day when the U.S. will not be a member of the U.N., especially because of the U.N.'s desire to rule over climate change?
Well, one of the things you have to understand, my answer is no. And the reason is the United Nations was created by the United States. Hmm. Other documents that I've got, and I'll show you those to you. But George Shultz got a letter from a guy named Tobler, who was in charge of the meteorological portion of the United Nations, and said, we need to have this climate change panel. And they worked together, and the two of them actually created it to begin with. So it's an American product. That particular panel was also created in the United States at the suggestion of the United States, and had been planned before World War II to do that, because we could see it coming and we knew what happened. So if you know what the history of it is, the likelihood that we're going to get out of it is going to, we'd be abandoning our own product.
Wow. Well, unfortunately, that's disappointing. And also, unfortunately, we are up against the clock. Ron, I want to thank you so much for your time today.
My pleasure.
And thank you for joining us today on the iSpy Radio Show. We certainly hope that you're at least a little wiser than when you got here. Ironically enough, Earth Day was Friday, so in your face, you pagan Earth worshippers. All kidding aside, we are spending $1.5 trillion to do nothing more than put lobbyists and environmentalists in Ferraris and keep a bunch of poorly informed politicians in office. None of it is helping to cool the Earth in any measurable way. Imagine instead if we put $1.5 trillion into cancer research or Alzheimer's or any number of diseases. Instead, we're spending that money because the global warming alarmists see humanity as the disease. Do be sure to check today's show page on iSpyRadio.com. We have links there to the movie and tons more information. While you're there, click on our advertisers. It costs you nothing to do, but we do get a little something from them. Like us on Facebook, find us on Twitter, and share what you've learned, because as we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a faith that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.